When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. My name is Liam Mendes. Hope you guys are all well on your Thursday evening, our penultimate big match preview of the season, as we gear up for our final home game of the campaign against Shrewsbury on Saturday. Joining me to look ahead to that match, plus plenty more. First up, top right, a man who enjoys a pint of milk a day, Nathan Muller. Hey, dear Nath.
Not bad, mate. You caught me drinking the white stuff whilst I was trying to come on. And you can can always build up your calcium deficiency like me. So good to be here. Good to see your two lovely faces. Look at Tom's little face down there.
Yeah, down the bottom there. A man who, well, unlike Nathan, wasn't breaking bones every Saturday during his youth. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm all right. More of a squash man, me. So no milk or whatever else he claims to have in that glass. But I'm all good. I'm all good.
Different drinks for different needs. So on this week's big match preview, as I said, we'll be looking ahead to the Shrewsbury game in the second half of the show. We're going to hear from Dan from Salopcast to find out a little bit about Paul Hurst's side. They're still not quite safe yet, unlike us, who are flying high in 16th, of course, in League One. But in the first half of the show, we've got plenty of good stuff to talk about. A bit of a general discussion at the start of it. Yeah, a few things that have come up in the world of football today that I think need discussing, like the scrapping of the replays from the first round in the FA Cup, which will affect clubs at our level who just love playing in the first round of the FA Cup. And of course, Saturday is Upbeats Day at the Valley, as is tradition. We're going to be taking part in the Upbeats Walk. Myself, Nathan, Ben from Charlton Live are definitely doing it. I think that's all of us. So we're going to hear from Terry Pert from the Charlton Athletic Community Trust and from Josh Greenwood, who's one of the Upbeats, who's going to join us and tell us why the programme's so important to the chats who are involved and why we as Charlton fans always club together at the end of the season to try and raise money for that initiative. So really looking forward to hearing from those guys. I want to say good evening to everyone who's joined us in the chat as well. Evening to Sam, who's the first one in there. All Hell Let Loose is in there. Glenn's in there. Andrew, Paul, Ross, Ian, George and Aaron are all in there as well. All Hell Let Loose is asking if that's why your teeth are so white, Nath. Is it all that cow juice you've been necking?
Yeah, well, I haven't gone turkey. I ain't got any turkey teeth. So
you just come back from Turkey.
No, Mexico.
Oh, there you go.
But mate, I didn't know my teeth were that white, but they're not yellow or brown or anything. But I thought they're just normal colour. But I'll take the compliment. Thank you very much. Fivers in the post.
There we go. So, good evening to all you guys. Let us know how you're feeling ahead of the game with Shrewsbury. Anything you'd like to see between now and the end of the season in terms of team selection? It's a discussion we've had, but now we are literally two games from the end of the season. Is there anything you'd like to see change in the starting lineup? All Hell Let Loose says, Louis, can you put to bed this daft rumour that Alfie May is off to Wrexham? That's never going to happen. He spent years getting back to London, so he's not going to move to Wales. So I can confirm the very first I've heard of that daft rumour is that a message. So unless I've missed something online or something, I don't believe there's any situation where that's going to be happening. You did see on the video that Alfie did where he's ringing up ticket holders during the day that he's not planning on leaving anytime soon, which is always a relief. But there has been some big breaking news in the world of football today, Nathan. The scrapping of the FA Cup first round replays. Now, not always a benefit to us, of course. We suffered a draw with Cray Valley at the Valley earlier on this season in the first round. That meant we had to go for a second round for a replay, a first round replay over at Badgers earlier on in the season. But if we take away the slight embarrassment it caused us, I mean, that was one of the best days of the season in terms of, for football in South East London, all eyes on Eltham. Obviously a massive day for Cray Valley. But then if you switch it, most of the time our first round games seem to be against pretty boring teams like Milton Keynes. And us not having to go to Milton Keynes on a Tuesday for a replay is probably not the end of the world as far as I see it. So it's a little bit of both, but the majority of lower league football fans have been pretty upset from what I've seen today.
Yeah, you would. I mean, obviously you can take it as when it suits your narrative, really. Like you say, if you've got an away trip to replay to MK Dons, you're wishing that you don't have replays. But I mean, I suppose I'm lucky a little bit where I was growing up in the Premier League, and I went to a lot of Premier League grounds, and it's a great day. But some fans, the younger fans, probably haven't been to many, and even smaller clubs in Cholton, they might get a dream draw or dream replay or whatnot, like Cray Valley did. And yeah, they probably know they're not going to win, but it gives a little bit of windfall in terms of cash flow for them. And it's experiences that I think that you'd always dream of. So, you know, when we had that Man United one, I know it wasn't a replay, but they're the sort of things that you really look forward to as a fan. And I just think at the moment, the FA are, the whole of football, really, with the threat of this governance that could be coming in, it seems like they're all stepping up a little bit now, aren't they? And putting these sanctions on clubs and whatnot. But I just think it's a bit of, you know, we'll give you a little bit of money for grassroots, but oh, by the way, we'll take the replays off you. So I know you're going to have some for and some against in terms of replays and fixture pile-ups and stuff, but I don't think if you get a chance to get a replay against a top side, I think you'll all of a sudden get a lot more energy in your legs if you're a player and as a fan. So disappointed, but you know, the way the world's going at the moment, it's not really surprising, and I don't think this is the end of these sort of things that are given a miss.
Yeah, I mean, Steve McKim, who is the Cray Valley Paper Mills manager, says, absolute nonsense, taking away a possible nice replay against full-time clubs from non-league teams. The additional £33 million given to grassroots doesn't create memories for part-time players. Yeah, what's your view on it, Tommy? Are you upset that they're gone?
Yeah, I don't think it makes any difference to us because our record in the FA Cup is largely dreadful. So I don't really care from a Charlton standpoint, but and obviously we're a Charlton podcast, so I don't want to get too deep into all of this, but it's just another sign of the way football's going, isn't it? That five or six clubs at the very top, or certainly the Premier League as a whole, are dictating what happens to the pyramid of football. And they obviously bring a lot of the money in, and so they, of course, should have a say. But you'd like to think that they would then feed that down and they would see part of the bigger picture. But I think the ownerships that come in there now don't. They see the chance to make even more money. So it's making richer people even richer. It's the state of the country as a whole at the moment. And as a result, the people down towards the bottom sadly miss out. And yeah, I think replays are a small part of potentially being able to do something like that and do some good to football generally. So as I say, for us, it doesn't really make a lot of difference. But, you know, same as the players being tired. Those players play 38 Premier League games and EFL players play 46 games. And then you factor in the EFL trophy that League One and Two have to play. If you get a long way in that, if you get a long way in the League Cup, even two or three rounds, of course, you're not playing at the same level that these players are in Europe. But pound for pound, you're playing probably the similar amount of competitive games. So I think the whole thing's a load of rubbish, really. It puts me off the Premier League more and more week by week. But luckily, we're not in any danger of touching the Premier League anytime soon anyway. So, yeah, for a Charlton podcast, we can just enjoy what we're doing now, or try to. Hopefully, we can next season at the very least. But yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame. It's the fabric of football. And yeah, I just think that the decisions get made now aren't within the best interests of the game as a whole. I think they're within the best interests of a few clubs at the top. And that's sad to see.
The bit that does confuse me about the whole decision-making process is it does seem to have been basically the FA and the Premier League that came to this conclusion. It's like, well, why does it matter before round three then? Because none of those Premier League clubs play in the first or second round. So yeah, I was a little bit surprised about how they've come to that. I mean, all hell let loose says, can't we cancel the EFL trophy instead? But again, I mean, that doesn't solve the apparent problem, which is which is fixture congestion for those sides in Europe, which is just such a small amount of teams. Robert says, if we can't have replays, then let's kick them out of the famous BSM trophy. Sam reckons that with discussion around the FA Cup, it should be the team who is lower who gets the choice if they want a home tie or an away tie. Yeah, maybe that's one way of doing it. And Paul says, any initiative that deprives lower league sides of money at the behest and convenience of the big clubs should be avoided at all costs. The FA happy to roll over and let the Premier League tickle their nevers. Right, we had a tweet in just now, actually, from Paul Griffiths, who says, when I left the Reading game, I was convinced that we were going down. What a turnaround Nathan has overseen. I think we're all starting to look forward to next season. I mean, there's been a big discussion this week, obviously, Nathan, about the unbeaten run we're on, and the fact that it's not it's many more draws than wins in that 13 game unbeaten run. But I'm seeing some people saying, yeah, that's obviously not a good sign, but I was thinking it is something to build upon next season, and what happens this summer will be very, very interesting. But I think there's been a bit of groundwork laid in the second half of this year, but it's obviously something we have to build upon in terms of the members of the squad this summer, I think.
Yeah, of course. I'm in the camp of I'm going to try and take it positively. I think as Ali from the top 20 said on the podcast when he came on, he sort of said, you know, Portsmouth have had a similar ending last year when Messinho came in. And it's about building blocks, building foundations and building good habits. And if I think back to Gillingham and that Christmas time, the one thing that we all kept saying is that we had a soft underbelly. We were really easy to play through and against. We were giving away sloppy goals. We still give sloppy goals away. I'm not saying we're the best defence in the world now, but we look a lot more harder to play against. And that's something to build upon, because I think you've got to start with your defence, start with your midfield, and then you move on. So it gives me hope for the summer, for sure. But in terms of the transfer window, I think we've been saying it for years that, you know, it's a big rebuild in the summer. But I think it must be different this time, because before, I'm under the assumption, I could be wrong, but, you know, Andy Scott was doing most of the recruitment, and maybe the other managers had some sort of say. But I would imagine the way that Nathan wants to play and how he wants to build the club and not just the first team, he's going to have a hell of a lot more of a say of who comes in, what profile a player comes in. So it fills me with a little bit more optimism than it has in previous windows. But at the same time, how many times have we had our fingers burnt before every summer or every January? So proof's going to be in the pudding. And we're just going to wait and see. But I am optimistic. As I said in a WhatsApp chat the other day, I'm probably by the 5th of July going to be buzzing that we're going to win the league. And then maybe I'll be disappointed. But listen, that's the whole point of being a Charlton fan. And we've got to look forward to something. Otherwise, what's the point in, you know, sort of getting a season together? Why not? Do you know what I mean? But I'm in the optimistic camp. But yeah, ask me in December.
Yeah, I mean, the season ticket point's a good one, because obviously you're looking ahead to next year now. The division's starting to take a little bit more shape. So Stockport, Mansfield and Wrexham have all secured autos from League Two. Obviously Rotherham have come down, so we're starting to get a bit of a better idea of who's still going to be here. I think the likes of obviously Carlisle are gone, Fleetwood are effectively gone, unfortunately for them from this division. So we're losing a couple of really northern away days, which are absolutely no skin off my teeth. I'm pleased to see the back of those two trips. Port Vale have got some work to do. Cheltenham possibly going to go. I mean, Cambridge and Burton, I think Cambridge are probably close, if not fully there. Like I say, even Saturday's opponent Shrewsbury in the same position, but they should be okay. But yeah, we're starting to see what this division's looking like now, Tom. I mean, looking at it purely from a decent away day point of view, I think Wrexham's going to be up there for a few people who might not have been there. I can't remember last time we would have played Wrexham. Mansfield and Stockport we've been to in cups recently, but both have potential for decent away days. So it's starting to shape up quite nicely next year.
Yeah, selfishly, all the three coming up are ones I haven't done. So that's a bonus for me, provided I can get tickets to them all. I imagine Wrexham's going to be fairly oversubscribed, as you say. And I was listening to, I think it was not the top 20, one of the pods anyway, that was talking about the EFL, and they were kind of saying that they still don't think it's going to be that strong next year. And I know we've talked about this season as a wasted opportunity, and I still think it is, because I think the league's been poor this year. But actually, my assumption was it's going to be a lot stronger next year. And actually, maybe that's not going to be the case. You look at the teams probably coming down, not necessarily the biggest thing in the world if the right clubs come down. And yes, Wrexham are going to chuck a lot of money at it, of course, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee anything. And the other teams that are coming up, maybe not. So yeah, it's a tricky one, really. I think, we have to look at it as a season that we have to aim for promotion. We did that this year. Obviously, we failed on it, but there's nothing to say that next year, as Nath said, with hopefully Nathan Jones having a bit more control over recruitment and a bit more of a structure and all of that sort of stuff, then actually we've got half a chance. So yeah, that's what I'm kind of hoping. A few good away days, but most importantly, us getting out of this division as soon as we can.
Sam saying facts and stats said it's 1981 since we last played Wrexham. Wow, that's even before Nathan was born, I think, actually. So that was a very long time ago. All hell let loose reckons the last place will be between Burton and Cheltenham. Paul says, bang goes my hospitality gig with Fleetwood going down. Yeah, I can't imagine League Two hospitality is up to your standards, Paul, so I imagine you won't be visiting them again. But he says, did you really have to bring up the Gillingham game, Nath? My toes nearly got frostbite to see the sharpshooter who shall not be named score. Seems like such a long time ago. Well, he scored again since then, which is lovely news. Steve Wright is joining us. Says hello to all Charlton fans everywhere from the Exuma Island in the Bahamas. Good luck for the Shrewsbury game. That's from Steve. Good to hear from you, Steve. Hope you're enjoying the show. Well, before the game against Shrewsbury on Saturday, it's a very, very special day that we have annually at the Valley, of course. It's Upbeats Day. So to tell us a little bit about why me and Nathan and a couple of hundred others are going to be strolling all the way from New Eltham and the training ground to the Valley. First up, we've got Terry Pert from Charlton Athletic Community Trust. Hi, Tel. And we've got Josh Greenwood from the Charlton Athletic Upbeats. Goodness me, you're very... he's showing off his flexibility there, Josh. Good evening to the pair of you. How are you both?
Good evening, Lewis. You all right? Nath, you good? Tom, evening. Moving everyone.
Yeah, hi, Josh. How you doing? All right?
Yeah, doing good. Looking forward to tomorrow night's training, by the way. Playing against Everton for the training tomorrow.
Excellent stuff. Well, first of all, Terry, tell us a little bit about the Upbeats programme and why it's so important that the Charlton fans come together to do this fundraising every year, as we always do.
Yeah, so obviously the Upbeats program's been running 16 years this year, believe it or not. It's been there since the start. It's just a brilliant project. And every year, obviously, we fundraise by doing the 9-mile walk to keep the program going. This year, again, we've got over 200 walkers, which would be, like you said, starting at the training ground in New Eltham, finishing at the Valley. And, you know, the Upbeats is the only project in the Community Trust that isn't got specific funding for. So we fundraise to keep that going. And over the years, the Charlton fans and family have been brilliant in supporting that. And making it, you know, 16 years is a long while for a project to be running. And it just goes from strength to strength, really. You know, the more money we can raise, the more activities, the more, you know, the more trips, the better the project becomes.
And Josh, why don't you tell us a little bit then about what playing with the Upbeats means to you and being part of the Upbeats family?
Well, I have been saying this quite a lot, but I think the whole thing about the Upbeats is my absolute dream, really, to be playing with the Upbeats, because I've been playing since when I was five. Until now I'm 20, because I recently had my birthday and I'm 20 now. And the thing that I like playing about the Upbeats is about how all of us are a great family. We all are like Upbeat brothers because of the decent family that's going on in the community. Looking forward to Belfast, so I'm looking forward to doing that this year, scoring more goals at the Valley pitch, and this is my dream come true, really.
Hi, Josh.
Hi.
Hello, mate. Yeah, you was mentioning, and Terry mentioned, about all the trips that you go on. What do you enjoy the most about all the trips that you manage to go on with the Upbeats?
Good question, actually. I think my good one would be my top one would be going to Faversham and Maidstone, actually, because I have been doing that quite a lot. My dad said, from his point of view, that he thinks I was the top two men of the match, and one of them I was the captain for that team. score collective goals, dark up offices, and enjoying training with the rest of my team that's out there.
Hey Josh, did you say that you've scored a goal at the Valley?
Yeah, I have scored a goal at the Valley before. So I scored it like one time, couple of times. Charlton playing against others and Everton, and this time playing against Everton again.
So no way.
So hopefully I can score more goals and knock them dead, really.
Good man. That's more than some of the Charlton players. What's that feeling like, scoring at the Valley? How does that feel?
Actually, I think the feeling that I like scoring at the Valley, I think it's for me being really happy scoring at the Valley at the home ground, because all of the main Charlton players plays football on that pitch, and it reminds me of us and the Upbeats, and we are quite like them. And yeah. Hopefully we can be like them and be professional and play our professional match against the other Dance and Drone teams that's going on.
Have you got a celebration plan, Josh, if you score?
Well, I have got a celebration plan, yes. My celebration plan, if I score the goal, will be a cartwheel.
Nice.
Might be the splits. And it might be a struggle jump, but you will find out when. So, yeah.
Looking forward to seeing that on Saturday. All Hell Let Loose says, do you enjoy meeting with the Charlton first team players? So have you had a chance to meet some of the first team players along with some of the other lads?
Well, I've been on one of the days when I played against Everton. When we played against Everton, I run up to the first team players and tell them about how the Upbeats are doing and how they are doing and playing on the pitch. And my favourite player, obviously, would be Ryan Innes, because he's a defender for Charlton and I like him as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a very nice bloke as well. I know he won the Community Player of the Year last season as well, Ryan, when he was with the club. And just, Terry, it was only a few days ago that the Community Trust got won Community Club of the Year at the EFL ceremony in London. There's a lovely picture of you all tarted up in your finest clothes there on the website. I mean, tell us a little bit about what that achievement means for you and for the rest of the Trust. Obviously, that was for your overarching work rather than just with the Upbeats.
Yeah, the work the Trust do, head and shoulders, you know, not trying to blow our own trumpet, but we are head and shoulders above other clubs. Just the amount of work that we get through, it's so diverse in the stuff we deliver, and that can be, you know, in my strand, disability and mental health, we work in the mental health sector with elderly people, 60 to 90 year olds. Then on another day, we're working with short breaks with autistic children doing respite for them. So, alongside that, we do a lot of crime reduction stuff, as you know, in our strand, and that's just, you know, a tiny smidgen of the stuff the Trust does. You know, the health team's a massive part. They all are, all the football sports development. It's a brilliant, brilliant evening, and it just sort of showcases the work that we're doing in the community. Upbeats and disability work, you know, it's always my favourite sort of work to do. I've been doing it 16, 17 years now. And just to allude on what Josh said just then, it's just giving people opportunity, whether it's the Upbeats or other projects, just opportunity to engage in activity. The social aspect of the community work is massive as well. Like Josh with the Upbeats, he probably wouldn't have known half of his mates now that, you know, before he joined the Upbeats. It's just the social aspect is so important. You know, the sessions are great, don't get me wrong, and the football that we teach them, but you can't get past the social aspect and the friends that, and the friendships that are made that really make a difference to people's lives.
Excellent. Well, Terry and Josh, thanks so much for joining us on Charlton Live this evening. We look forward to seeing the pair of you on Saturday when we're walking that 9 mile trek to the Valley. We'll see you. We'll see you in SE7.
Looking forward to it.
Take care. And it's just to let you guys know before I go. Is that I am, if you don't know, that I am I do love singing and I am passionate about music. And if you don't know, that I'm an acrobat dancer, by the way.
Well, there we go. It's not just a one-trick pony there then, Josh. Well, we look forward to seeing you guys over the weekend. Thanks very much for your time here on Charlton Live this evening. Just before we turn our attention back to Shrewsbury as well, Nathan Jones was asked to look ahead to the Upbeats walk today as well. This is what the Addicts boss had to say.
Our last home game of the season, but it's also the day of our annual Upbeats walk prior to the game. Supporters are walking 9 miles to raise up to £35,000 or excess of £35,000 if they can to fund the Upbeats for another year. And now they're close to that target. Another example of why we got the EFL Community Club of the season, and I must fill everybody with pride.
Well, to be fair, this club's got a fantastic tradition of having the community. The community at the forefront of its thinking and ingrained in its DNA. And it's, you know, we're very proud of that as a football club. I knew that when I first came into the football club, you know, 12 years ago. And I know that now. It's not the first award the community's won, but everyone is special because it just shows that the work that they do, the unbelievable work that that the football club does, and led by Jason Morgan and people, is just fantastic, you know. And we're really, really proud of that. So congratulations to them. Long may that continue. And as I said, it just shows that the community is at the forefront of this football club, and that's why it's such a great club. You know, on Saturday with the Upbeats, they walk, and we wish them all the best because they do great work and they finance so much. So again, it's just part of a wonderful community program that we've got here, and just an extension of the wonderful amount of people that we have here.
And they'll be playing on the Valley pitch just before the main game on Saturday. You'll allow yourself a little peek out the tunnel just to have a quick look?
Well, I will, but they're not cut it up, that's all I can say. But no, we will. It'd be good to see them. It'd be a nice occasion, and what we have to do is respond and try and put a performance in that caps the day off. That's what we would like to do.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello fellow addicts, I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your match day routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Just before the break there, we heard from Terry from the Charlton Athletic Community Trust and from Josh from the Charlton Upbeats looking ahead to Saturday's Upbeats Walk. Now, if you check in the little description below the video there, you'll be able to see how you can donate to our Charlton Upbeats Walk page. We've got a couple of £100 on our page so far, which I hope to get a fair bit more than that. So if you guys have a chance and want to donate to keeping the programme going, what we saw there with Josh and what that means to him and his friends and obviously their families as well, then feel free to do so. It's just one of the very best things that the club does. And from a personal point of view, I mean, I really love the community aspect of the Upbeats Walk and getting together with fellow Charlton fans and, you know, fellow Charlton players as well. I know Mortz is going. There's a couple of former players will be down there as well, the ones that can still walk. And yeah, we'll get together, we'll have a good time, and we'll celebrate what being a Charlton fan is all about. Now let's celebrate something else of what being a Charlton fan is all about, and that's the fact that we get to play Shrewsbury on Saturday. It's time to look ahead to the home game with Salop. They're not quite safe yet in League One, although they're pretty much on the verge of it, as our Shrewsbury correspondent is going to tell us now. So welcome to Charlton Live. It's Dan from Salop Cast. Good evening, Dan. How you doing, my friend?
Evening, fellas. Yeah, I am all good. Looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah, how nervous are you, or do you feel the job's pretty much done now to finish about 17th in League One for the 50th year in a row?
Yeah, 17th is our natural habitat. I don't think we're quite going to get there, but given where we might have been, I'll settle for anywhere that's not 21st or below. Big point to Bolton on Tuesday, to be honest. That settled an awful lot of nerves. We're not quite there yet, but it'd have to be a pretty extraordinary set of results for us to end up on the wrong side of that relegation line.
Yeah, I mean, tell us about that game on Tuesday, because Bolton seems to be faltering a little bit, obviously, as they try and get over the line at the top of the table. But it sounded like a very good point for you guys.
Yeah, it was a thoroughly, you know, a great example of our schizophrenic season, to be honest. I mean, if you remember that Alfie May has scored only 10 fewer goals than our entire team put together over 44 games, you can see what the problem is. And it's putting the ball in the onion bag. We just have really, really struggled to score goals. So to score an early goal really helped. And then Jordan Shipley scored another excellent goal to make it 2-1. So we were on the front foot for quite a lot of the game, which was useful, because we spent far too much time this season, you know, being reactive and chasing things. So we turned up and we did okay. Yeah, it wasn't Brazil 1970, but it was a resilient performance. And I think Bolton fans may disagree, but I think we were resilient enough to merit the point, to be honest.
Hi, Dan. I think you're safe, to be honest. I don't think you'll worry about that. But if you look ahead to next season, then, I mean, what's the sort of the consensus of sort of Shrewsbury fans? Because I know you're sort of around that 17th mark. Will the club try and bridge that gap to try and make a push for the playoffs at some point, or is it just going to be consistently trying to stay above that dotted line to go down into League Two?
Well, we're a lower League One club. That's where we are. And most Shrewsbury Town fans are realistic enough to know that. Now, last season we finished 12th. So that was our second best finish for 30 years. So that puts in context that how well we did last year. But the accounts came out about 3 weeks ago. We lost a shedload of money. And I know that loads of clubs lose money, but we're not big enough to be able to do that. So the reason we came 12th is we spent far too much money, and we've got to cut our cloth accordingly. So I'm afraid the narrative isn't one of, you know, we're going to speculate to accumulate. We've got a manager now we trust, Paul Hurst. You might remember him. Got playoff final. Don't want to go too much, maybe painful memories, but yeah, we got to the playoff final 1 year. And of course, no one expected it. And what Paul Hurst did is he made the most of the loan market. We had Ben Godfrey, who's now at Everton, Dean Henderson, who's now in the top flight as well. And so we need Hurst to do that again, to get loan players who don't get injured all the time. We've had 10 this year and none of them have really done anything. And we need to have a squad that really is together as one, pushing forward with ideally some young talent. So that's not the type of stuff where we could think, right, next year, sixth. We go into it hoping for better, but I think we're realistic enough to know that we're unlikely to be challenging for the top two places anytime soon.
Expanding a little bit on Paul Hurst, Dan, how's he viewed by Shrewsbury fans? Because obviously you got that move to Ipswich off the back of that success, as you say. Didn't really work out for him at a couple of clubs, really, Ipswich and a couple of others. He's back with you now, I think, since January, isn't he? So
yeah,
how's he viewed by the fans, and talking within the constraints that you've kind of given there around what's realistic for the club, is he someone that people think can build a bit of a legacy with you guys?
Yeah, well, he's viewed in messianic terms. The Messiah was coming back when he got it, but that was because we were so poor beforehand. We played no football under Matt Taylor, and we got some players who we thought were going to be able to, you know, to bring us to a higher level, and they weren't performing. So to bring back someone who was really successful for us, and you're right, he went to Ipswich and failed, but he did very well at Grimsby. They had two promotions under him. He's a good manager for a small club, who on a restricted budget. I think when going to Ipswich just didn't work for him. You know, he wasn't that type of manager. Whereas for us, the fan base is more or less united that he is the right man to craft a better squad next year. And I don't want to be too negative in saying we don't expect to be, you know, right at the top. We do expect better, and we expect to keep the ball a bit more, Tom. Yeah, I mean, you'll see this on Saturday. I guarantee you that you will have much more of the ball than us. I mean, whether you do anything with it, it's not a matter altogether, but we want to see a bit more football. And again, our barriers are, you know, it's not that high. Just keep the ball a bit. Try and be a bit more creative. And I think Hurst is well set to do that. So fingers crossed next year will be at least a little bit better than this one's been.
So if we had to pinpoint some danger men then for this weekend, I mean, when we spoke earlier on in the season, I sort of was not very complimentary about Dan Udo over what I've seen of him over the years. But he is your top scorer, and you were quite defensive of him. Like you did say, he's got attributes. Is he still a danger man? Is there anyone else that we should be keeping an eye on?
Well, it's been rubbish this year, Louis. I'll be honest with you. Your analysis went a million miles off the mark. He is our top scorer, and he scored a good goal on Tuesday night, I have to say. But he is one of those classic players that either looks like he's got something, bustles through tackles, will create chances, or he can't trap a medicine ball. And we've had far too much of the latter this season. So it'll be the striker up front. We may play with two. We played with two against Bolton, which is a bit unusual for us. Normally we play sort of 4-2-3-1 under Hurst anyway. But I think we may play with two. Tom Bloxham is another bustling centre forward. Neither of them have scored many goals, if I'm being brutally honest. So if we're going to do anything, then it'll be through Jordan Shipley, former Coventry player, good left foot. Keep an eye out for set pieces, folks. Now, I don't know if Bolton did any prep, but it looked like they didn't, because twice this season they've done the Beckham Scholes thing where the ball's been fizzed out to him at the edge of the box and he smashed it on the volley in twice. Now, once, okay, you know, fine, but we did it again on Tuesday night, and seriously, it's great technique. I mean, he can't possibly do it a third time, can he? You know, we'll see. But Shipley's got the ability to do that. He strikes a good ball, he can ping in across. So if we're going to be creative, then I suspect he's the man who you need to keep an eye on. Personally, if we're going to play well, then Carl Winchester in the middle of the park, former Sunderland player. He's vital, because if he can help us keep the ball, then we've got more chance of doing stuff. If he can't get his foot on the ball, you'll have 70% possession.
I'm glad you've mentioned set pieces, because that's something, once you've gone, we're going to be talking about Charlton's record from set pieces this year. The boys are not the top 20, have did a league table, and we're not bottom, so it could be worse, but we are second bottom. So yeah, we'll discuss that. So great, you guys are good at that. Excellent. Well, we'll see some of that on Saturday. Dan, thanks for your time this evening. Hopefully we'll be seeing you again next season. I think we will be. It seems likely, but maybe if you can get one or two more points, that'll be certain. And we'll see you then.
Cheers, fellas. Go well.
There we go. That's Dan from Salopcast, the Shrewsbury number one podcast. Make sure you give them a listen if you want to see how they see Saturday's game as well. So shall we hear from Nathan Jones first, and then we'll discuss a few of the little foibles of our performances this season. One of which is set pieces, which is a remarkable stat. Not a shocking stat, but it is remarkable when you see it written down. But yeah, Nathan was asked to look ahead to Saturday's home game with Shrewsbury. This is how he sees things ahead of the last home game of the campaign.
To go, you mentioned previously that you wouldn't be experimenting in terms of squad, because you want to put the best side you can out there. Does that also extend to players who may be coming back from injury? You know, we've got people with knocks, like Lord Jones, actually made up very recently, today, Watson, of course, as well. Even if they are back and potentially fit, is it someone you wouldn't risk because there's only a couple of games?
Oh, no, I'm going to play the best possible side I can play. I'm going, you know, that's what we're going to do. We have to, one, be very respectful to the league. I know I've been on the other end of it where teams have been flippant and been casual, and that's not us, you know, and that's not my mentality. So I'll treat the game with the utmost respect, as I would with any other game. So we'll pick the strongest possible side that we can. Yeah, we are looking forward to next year in terms of stuff, but you know, we've got two games to deal with, two games to finish as strong as we possibly can, and we want to do that, especially at the Valley.
One player we know that has been out for some time and was a fan's favourite, and everybody would be keen to know how he's going on, that's Miles Luba. We know obviously a serious injury that's kept him out for the season, but how is he progressing? Is he on schedule for coming back when we hoped?
Well, he's progressing. That's the thing. I mean, there's no value in trying to get him back early in terms of that because of the extent of the injury. You know, it was a hamstring injury, and strikers were quick and pacey and powerful. They need the hamstrings. So it's frustrating for the club because he's been out. He's missed the second part of the season. I haven't been able to work with him, so that's frustrating. But there's no value in trying to rush him back in any kind of way. So look, we'll make sure that. Yeah, he's on target, but we have to make sure that everything is right because you can't risk a young player with an injury like that and one that's very important to us.
Certainly, since our last game at the Valley this season against a Shrewsbury side who are still needing points to secure their own safety. They got a decent point away at Barnsley last game. It could be a battle, but it'd be a fantastic assuming to sign off the home campaign of the week.
Yeah, well, look, we're just concentrating on us. And as I said, we're very respectful. I know, you know, if Shrews on the other foot, I'm not, you know, if we go to Shrewsbury, and I know Hirsty very well, and, you know, he would set up a team to make sure that Shrewsbury got the best possible outcome they could, and that's what we're going to do, you know. It'd be fantastic to finish on a win, but we have to make sure that we are ready for the game, physically, mentally, and tactically. And then, you know, we'd like to finish off with a win at the Valley, but whether it's finishing off at the Valley or whether it's the second like game before we finish, we want to win every game. We have that mentality now. And if we're going to build something, then building something special doesn't happen bit part and happen one every two games. It has to be, we have to be at it every game. And they have been at it. You know, the performance levels have been there. We've not looked like we're going to lose a game. We've tried to be dominant in most games. We've tried to be aggressive in most games. We've tried to create chances, which we have in every game. What we haven't done is put that complete performance together, really, where we've been totally dominant and kept a clean sheet. And that's what we've got trying to achieve.
There we go. That's Nathan Jones looking ahead to the game with Shrewsbury on Saturday, again expressing his desire for a clean sheet. What will be interesting, actually, Nathan, now you think about it, I mean, those post-match comments from Cambridge won't have gone unnoticed by the players. You know, we put them out there and on the paper website, they were on the pod, they were on the radio. You know, there's Nathan Jones going out and saying the personnel at the back's not good enough. But these are the same personnel we've got to try and get us a result in the next two games. So it'd be very interesting to see, A, if there's changes, and B, how those personnel react to being called out like that by the manager. We're safe now. Nathan's well within his rights to do that. Nathan's a man who's got to make these decisions. I'm glad he's speaking openly about it. But there are two games left to go where those players have got to react to that.
Yeah, they've got to react, but they should have reacted all season, to be fair. I mean, you've not got to be a rocket scientist or Carol Vorderman to understand that we're conceding way too many goals, and they are the problem. You know, you put it in perspective how many goals Alfie May scored. He's the top goal scorer, and we're languishing middle of the bottom half of the table. So you do the maths, it's pretty straightforward that we're not good defensively. He's only stating the obvious, and yeah, they might not like it, but listen, they're professional footballers. They've got to be professional. They get, you know, every week they go through the things that they do well and the things they don't do so well. And it's their job to be professional about it and try and change Nathan's mind, albeit two games. But that's down to them. You know, you can't polish something that you can't polish, if you know what I mean. So, and I'm with you. I'm glad that Nathan said it. It makes sense why now he said it, the timing of it. But he's basically said what all of us, every single fan that's watched this week in, week out, have been saying all season. And that's nothing personal against the players. It's just that's not good enough if we want to be up in the higher echelons of this division and trying to aim and strive for higher divisions. You've got to be better. That's nothing horrible. It's just a fact of the matter.
Right, I said I was going to talk about this set piece table then. So you guys, I'm sure, will know about the Not the Top 20 podcast. We've had George Ellick came on the show earlier on this season to talk about Michael Appleton. He's an Oxford fan. I actually met Ali over the weekend the other day, and then he came on the show the next day, of course, to talk about how we saw Charlton, how he wants to see the Addicts progressing. It was Ali, I think, who wrote this fantastic article with, you know, they do loads of stats and that sort of stuff. And this will come as absolutely no surprise to anyone who sees my tweets about our corners. But they've worked out sort of like a goals for, goals against from set pieces this season now. So, and then they've worked out like a goal difference. So we're second bottom because we have conceded 14 goals from set pieces, which sort of is lower mid-table. Like, there's quite a few clubs who've conceded more, quite a few clubs who've conceded less. But, I mean, the goals for column from set pieces is one of the most pathetic things I've ever seen, Tom. So we've, to give you an idea, in terms of goals scored, the team at the very top is Derby with 23, Stevenage have 18. All bar two clubs are in double figures. We've scored 6 from set pieces this season, which is, there's no nice way of putting it. That's pathetic. Like, our set pieces attacking all season have been ridiculously bad. Defensively, they haven't been great. Attacking wise, have been ridiculously bad. And that is, no matter what level of football you're watching, goals from set pieces, there would have been goals from set pieces in the Champions League games over the last couple of nights. There certainly were in the first leg. I remember I think it was the PSG Barcelona game, there was at least one. At every level of football, set pieces count. And our set pieces, attacking-wise, this season have been an absolute joke, unfortunately. So that's something we clearly have to work on in the summer.
There's been 2 or 3 times this season where we've said something or something's happened and I've just wanted us relegated because I just feel like we deserve it. And this is one of them times. I just think if you're going to be that bad, you don't deserve to be in this league, to be honest. And the problem is, well, there's kind of 2 sides to it, right? I know, like, the amount of goals that get scored from corners is actually very low as a percentage generally. So you get a corner and everyone's like, oh my God, this is amazing. And actually, chances of you scoring it are minimal. And for us, it's even worse. But on the other side of it, the set pieces is one of the very few things that on the training ground you can control, what, 95% of them what happens? Obviously, you're going to have an opposition in the game. But in terms of where you put the ball and where you stand and where people move and all of that, you're in total control of that. And there's such a good opportunity to score. And so to be that bad, considering I think it was under Jacko or around that time, not that long ago, our set pieces were very, very good. To completely go from that to where we are now is staggering. And talking of kind of relegating clubs for this, I think if a corner can't beat the first man, then that player should never play football again, because I am about as bad at football as it's possible to be, but I can take a corner to the penalty spot, I don't know, 99 times out of 100. It's not a very difficult thing for a human being with 2 legs to do. And yet they can't do it. So, yeah, you think about where we'd be. Given the amount of goals we've scored, by the way, that says a lot for how we've managed to score goals, really, given where we are in the league. And so that's a positive sign. But you think about how many extras we'd have if we could just put the ball in the net from a set piece. And yeah, it's something we've got to work on. But, you know, the stats have come out. I'm sure Nathan Jones is all over it. And hopefully next season that can improve.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw Bukayo Saka's corner with the last kick of the game for Arsenal at Bayern Munich. So I saw that. Very first thing I thought when I saw that is that he needs a loan to League One. I know exactly where he wants to come. Ian says our corners have always looked hit and hope. It's like we can't be bothered to even take a corner. I was reminiscing the other day when we were at Cambridge and the Charlton Media boys were trying to sort out a camera to film the post-match interviews with Nathan Jones. One of them mentioned about going to get an extension cord for power, and it reminded me of that time that Ben Garner answered the reason that we started scoring a couple of set pieces is because they'd bought a big extension cord that meant they could take a TV pitch side. That meant they could sort of go through tactics set pieces whilst actually doing it. So, I mean, I'm wondering, Nave, did Ben Garner take that extension cord with him and we haven't got a budget to replace it? Because I've got a spare one in the garage.
Well, he might have took it to Colchester, but it didn't work out for him because he got sacked from there, didn't he? But, I mean, I know you get, maybe we need to do that a little bit more, but it'd be interesting. I don't know how many of those stats. Does that, those 6 that we've scored, is that including penalties?
I don't think so. I haven't seen it referenced either way, but I'm guessing not. Yeah.
But even if you look at the defensive ones, it'd be interesting.
Yeah, they're not. It's not.
Like the defensive conceded ones, is it direct from a corner, as in first phase, or is it second and third? Because if you can see what we've conceded second and third phase from a set piece, it will be even more, I guarantee it, because it's our second and phase play sometimes. But defending set pieces and even attacking them, it's desire. I know we slated Ryan Innes for when he was here, but at least you can say as a set piece, you know he's going to win it, whether defensively or offensively. He has a desire to win that ball. And in my opinion, I don't think we have anyone in that, maybe Gillespie a little bit, but someone who really demands the box, commands the box, heads it out, I just don't think we're strong enough defensively, and it and those stats don't surprise me at all. But as Tom said, I think it's saying crazy, like 15% or something of goals is set plays. And like he said, Tom said, you're in control. Even a throw-in, in any restart, you're in control of the ball, and the opposition has always got to get into a shape to try and counteract what you're trying to do. But we just never look like scoring from set plays. Well, I know Alfie tucked one in top bins the other week, but from a corner, you just more or less go, well, because I know people got the ump going, we were going short. It was like, well, we're not scoring from corners, so we might as well go short and try and build it up a little bit. But yeah, we need to improve that next year for sure.
Yeah, I've certainly seen them trying a few different bits, like Gillespie taking those corners up at Cambridge. And I genuinely thought there was a couple of them didn't look too awful in terms of delivery. But, I mean, we had almost like a half chance, I think. I can't remember if it was maybe a Nike header at the far post that went back across goal that was cleared near the line. But yeah, we don't. Paul says Scott Fraser couldn't beat the first man, Tom, which probably isn't saying much. All Hell Let Loose says Hector's not that great with his Swede. Terrell Thomas has to be our best header. In terms of the defensive ones, Ian reckons we, you know, keeper who can claim with confidence defensively would help that. I mean, that's certainly been a discussion point we've had a lot this season. Nath, was it you mentioned Carol Vorderman a few moments ago? Paul says, didn't Vorders win multiple Rear of the Year titles? Surely that must count for something when it comes to sorting out the back line. I was going to, when you were talking about Vorderman, I was thinking of trying to make a joke about how they take numbers from the top. And I thought, no, because then I'll say two from the top and it will sound like I'm making a joke about something else, about the formation she was going to play in terms of life. But I won't go down that line. Saturday then, Shrewsbury. Tom, it would be nice to end the season at home well, just to build a little bit of that momentum. I think the main thing for now is, obviously, if we can get to the end of the season unbeaten, 15 games unbeaten would be a lovely little stat. But we need to win our last home game of the season, don't we? Just to send everyone into the summer with a little bit of hope. And you know, we beat Shrewsbury 6-0 at the Valley last season, which we very kindly didn't mention to Dan when he came on. But I mean, if we could get anywhere near that sort of result, just to send us home happy, would be a nice way to end the home campaign.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, as you say, it doesn't really matter. But in terms of the day, it does. You know, it's the Upbeats walk, as you say, which is always a good day down at the Valley, and an important one for the club, as we heard from Terry and Josh earlier. And so you come down here with that kind of optimism just about the club. You know, there's plenty of times we've had where we hate this club for a variety of reasons, but Saturday is a day to actually be proud of the club. So then when you come down and you then see a win, it just adds to all of that. And as you say, and we've referenced it a few times, you have plenty of false dawns with this, where you end a season well and start the next season not so well, but maybe this will be different. And yeah, you certainly, no harm can come from winning and finishing the season strongly. If I'm right, and I'm looking at the table, I think, and I don't know if we said it with Dan there, but they've scored half as many goals as us and they're two places below us. So that speaks for itself. It was absolutely ridiculous, the state of our defence and how bad we've been at that end of the pitch. But if we can score enough goals, it doesn't sound like they're going to score too many. But you know what our defence are like. We'll probably wave them through a couple of times and let them get a bit of a head start. So, yeah, I want an entertaining game. I want to win, ultimately. And as you say, then if we can wrap up the season with a good, solid, unbeaten run, then Nathan Jones can go into the summer, get rid of all of the dead wood, which is pretty much the entire squad as far as I'm concerned, and start his rebuild. So, yeah.
Ian says that just means they'll score three against us anyway with their lack of goals. But All Hell Let Loose says playing well in both the first half and the second half will be a good start. I mean, Nathan, again, referenced the fact that we haven't had that complete performance yet, whether that means a clean sheet, whether it means playing for 90 minutes. You could argue we've struggled in both. Even the Barnsley game, which we won, weirdly, we were much better in the second half where we didn't score goals. But it would be nice to sort of lay a bit of a marker about what we're actually going to be like for Nathan, and I guess to have more of a look again at those players that were still umming and ahhing about. So he would have made his mind up on a few of them, but you know, the obvious ones like Connor Wickham, who scored that fantastic goal for us last week up at Cambridge. Nathan, you know, just to have a proper eye over these chaps for the last couple of games will be really important for Nathan.
Yeah, it will. I think obviously you've got a load of people out of contract. People like TC, Tyrese Campbell's out of contract, isn't he? I think, although the last couple of weeks he's shown a little bit of grit and a little bit more enthusiasm when he's come on. So maybe he's trying to win one there. You've got likes of, obviously, Michael Hector and to Earl Thomas and stuff like that, which goes back onto our last point about the defence. But this is an opportunity for Nathan to look at the players. And like, as you say, it'll be interesting if he changes it. But judging by what he said in his pre-match, I don't think he's going to change much unless you have to. But I'd like to see, you know, I've banged on about Pan all season. I just like the guy anyway, but I don't think he's going to get a game now. But also tomorrow is probably going to be Dobbo's last game. Maybe it won't be. I don't know what happens anymore. But if it is his last game, hopefully he can get a good reception. He comes off at the end of it with 5 minutes to go or something stupid like that. But didn't we wallop these before, like 6-0 or something?
Yeah, 6-0 at the end of last season. So like, yeah. I say, a repeat of that would be good. One. Yeah, but as you say, quite a few people referencing George Dobson. Probably going to be his last home game then. I mean, unless anything changes, Bob's saying, is there any news on the Dobbo move? Well, as we've reiterated, I mean, he is currently pre-contracted to another club. So to get out of that contract, either someone has to buy him out of it or someone has to pay the club money. So that's how it works. And whether we do that or not, I don't know. I'd love for George to stay. But I mean, if it is his last game, Ian said he'd like to see, like, say, a possible hat-trick for him on his last game. But Andrew says Dobbo to get a good reception, maybe come off in the 85th. I mean, if that is to be his last game, I think hopefully it will be a very, very good reception for whenever is his last few moments on the Valley pitch. Because throughout all the crap we've put up with over the last few years, he's been sort of a mainstay and actually a player that you could be proud to watch. And you know, you could see him pull on the shirt with pride, and he put 110% into every performance that he did for us, even when it wasn't going his way, even when he had a few games that weren't his very best. He's always put in as much effort as physically possible for him, and he's given us some moments to be proud of. You know, the Ipswich, the goal at Ipswich. The away goal at Rotherham, but obviously not just known for his goal scoring, not really known for his goal scoring, if we're being honest, Tom. But he sort of epitomised everything he wanted to see from a Charlton captain wearing the shirt. And if this is to be the last time that we see him at the Valley, then let's hope he gets an amazing reception.
Yeah, it's just crap all round, isn't it? Really, it's not the way any of us want it to end. If that's the way it does, I think he deserves to have some success with us. I'm sure it'll all come out as and when he does go, and we'll find out exactly what has happened, because I know there's lots of rumours, and personally, I don't know enough about who's made the decision and all of that sort of stuff. But if the rumours are to be believed around what we were offering him compared to what others are being paid and who has made this decision, then it absolutely stinks. And as I say, it's just crap. And those people, that person, whatever, have a lot to answer for. You know, he's not the best player in the world. I'm not suggesting that for a second. And it will be very interesting to see how we cope without him next year and whether he does leave a massive hole or if actually we can plug it some other way by having better players in positions around him. But for me, pound for pound, he's one of our best players this season. He won't win player of the year, I don't think, probably because of Alfie May's goals. But you could argue, as you say, he's been the most consistent. And I go back to something I've said regularly on this pod ever since I've been on it. When you're a fan, you just want someone who looks like they care, even if they're not a Charlton fan. And realistically, when they make a move, they give the same for another club. Whilst they're putting that Charlton shirt on, all you want is for them to give their all. And I think this season, there are plenty of people we've called out for not doing that. But he has done it every single year, despite being surrounded by some absolute dross in that side and being treated very badly, potentially, by ownership. So, yeah, I hope we can find a way to do it. I don't think we will, and I don't think people will kind of admit their mistakes and hold their hands up, and I think we're going to lose a real key asset, and that's a real shame. But if that is the case, then, yeah, absolutely, he deserves to be brought off a few minutes before the end and to get the ovation he deserves. It's just a shame he won't get the promotion opportunity or the chance to get his hands on a trophy or anything like that, because I think he deserves that with us as well. But out of our control, in it.
Yeah, and we'll see. We'll see how that works out. Ian says, "Bang on, Tom." Paul says, "Coventry had his best game when Dobbo was not playing against Derby." Spam says, "At the end of the day, he wants to leave. He could have waited to see if a new manager would help him, give him a better contract." But we don't know the ins and outs of it at the time. You know, don't forget the club were willing to sell him in February when the Hungarian window closed. He was, you know, a reporter. I remember coming home from Reading, and I reported that he was set to be on the plane on the Sunday or the Monday to go and sign that deal, and it got pulled out the last minute by the club. So you know, there were two to tango in that situation. The club were willing to sell him at that point until it fell through at the last minute. Right, we've run out of time. Bob says maybe we'll get sorted before the end of the year dinner. Well, we'll be at the Player of the Year dinner if we get a chance to speak to George. Obviously, we'll invite him to our little table in the corner and see if he's up for an interview. But you never know when players are in slightly sticky situations like that whether he'd be up for speaking. But hopefully he will be, because even if it is just to talk through his time at the club. Right, we've run out of time on this week's big match preview. Absolutely flown by. Oh, Gary's emailed saying that we need to fix half the floodlights in the ground. It needs some TLC. Well, hopefully they'll get that sorted by next season. I've really enjoyed this evening's show. Massive thanks to everyone who's joined us live in the YouTube comments. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss another live show. The next one will be on Sunday morning, of course. Subscribe on your podcast app as well, so our pod always downloads automatically to your listening device. Massive thanks to Terry from the Charlton Community Trust and to Josh Greenwood from the Upbeats, who joined us in the earlier part of the show. Don't forget to donate, as I said, in the link in the bottom of our YouTube page to our Upbeats walk page for Saturday. Huge thanks, as always, to Tom and to Nathan. Absolute pleasure to speak to the pair of you.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, boys. I'll see your beautiful face Saturday morning, Louis. Nice and early.
Certainly will. Friday, I'll make you breakfast in bed, if that's what you're sort of hinting at. So we'll be back on Sunday with very tired legs after walking all the way to the ground. But for now, I'll just say I'm Louis Meadows. Thanks for listening. This has been Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. Might see some of you at the Upbeats Walk on Saturday. If not, we'll see you guys here on Sunday morning.